Oh, well, hello there, friends. You did it. One more time, you hit that play button on yet another...
Kevin, another Sthenic episode of V8 Radio.
Sthenic? What?
Abadi.
That's too many consonants in a row there.
It's a few. It is. You're right. Sthenic, meaning of or having a high or excessive level of strength and energy.
Oh, well then, better turn it up over here.
Oh yeah, we're at 11 already.
Sthenic. So, what does mean? Calisthenics are exercises, right?
Yeah.
To build strength and.
Yes.
Look at that.
Nice. Love how you put that together. Very good.
Don't know what it means, but you have tuned into the V8 Radio podcast. I'm Kevin Oster, your host, joined as always by our esteemed co-host, Mr. Mike Cuball Clark.
Feeling lots of energy today, my friend.
You look very sthenic.
Thank you. You're welcome.
I appreciate that.
You bet.
And for those who know our routine, it's going to happen again. For those who don't know, we start every episode here with an automotive-related trivia question of some sort. And we ask it in the beginning and answer it at the end in kind of a feeble attempt to bribe people to stay with us. So have you, in fact, prepared a trivia question?
I have, and I think it's working because we've been getting a lot of listens and downloads recently.
Yes, and we totally appreciate that. And in fact, we got a new look, but the same great taste.
Same great taste. Tastes great, less filling.
That's right. That's right. Well, I realized that our previous V8 Radio logo, I thought was pretty cool. It was the V8 thing, and then in a speedy, vintage script looking font, it said V8 Radio. Little did I realize that was like impossible to read,
especially on a phone screen, right?
Right. So people were skipping right over, going, you know, because it looked like. You know, Sanskrit or something. So
Comic Sans.
Yeah. So we redid that, and I think it came out pretty neat because
You did a great job on that. It really looks great. I love the white letter raised white letter tire look on the tire on that. It was really cool.
Yeah. So the tire across top and then the bottom is our vintage car radio, but tuned that up a little bit, made the display look a little bit more like. Like a 70s receiver with the blue.
Yes, so a very particular 70s receiver.
Well, no, to tell you the truth, that was kind of generic. I mean, there was the Marantz did it, Sansui did it, Pioneer did it.
Oh, okay.
A lot of different companies use that blue
look. A popular 70s color, I guess.
It was, but it's inviting.
It is. It is. Yeah. I'm ready to jump right into the show.
I'm inviting you to go with your trivia question. What do you got?
Love it. Okay. All right, here we go. This one's a nice softball for you in appreciation for the softball you gave me last time. So, Kevin, you see a lot of Dodges running around that say they have an SRT badge on them. So, short, sweet, to the point, what does SRT stand for?
SRT on the Dodge. Is Dodge? Dodge is still a brand. It's
yes,
the cars.
Yeah. Correct.
It's no longer Dodge truck, of course.
No, it's Ram truck.
It's Ram.
Yeah.
Okay, SRT. That's a good question because RT used to be road track.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people would get that confused, the road and track, but it was a slash. It was just road track.
Correct.
So I'm going to say it takes that one level higher to street road track.
Street road track.
Yeah, because I know SVT on the Ford side is special vehicle team. SVO is special vehicle operations. This is one of those things that I actually never made it around to looking up. You know, TRD is Toyota Racing Development, right?
Correct.
The turd. SE, of course, special edition. So I just think they smashed all that together.
Okay.
All right, and I apologize. Yes, but yeah. I apologize if I'm way wrong on that. That's one I should know.
It's all right.
Instantly.
But. Well, we're going to know at the end of the show if whether you're right or not.
I know of them.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. I got one for you. I guess another softball. Stemming from, again, my recent visit to the Grand National Roadster Show, got to see a lot of hot rods, some very cool engines powering these. And it made me think of one, the Arden cylinder heads. Where'd they get their name?
Arden cylinder heads. Yeah. Oh, man.
And for the bonus, I guess, judging by your response, what are Arden cylinder heads?
Well, that was my first question. Oh, my goodness. Arden cylinder. I've heard of them, but like SRT, I never really got around to knowing exactly what they are.
Nice. Well played.
All right. So... Oh, this is going to be a good one. I'm trying to formulate something good in my head here. Arden cylinder heads the question is, what are they, correct? That's the question? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Special race trim? I'm sorry.
No backtracking.
Stuck on the SRT.
No backtracking. So Arden cylinder heads.
Street racing time. That's what it means. All right, never mind. Sorry.
No, nice filler. I appreciate that. Yeah. Arden cylinder heads are a special forging of cylinder heads where they achieve a greater level of hardness than a standard forging or casting would achieve.
Wow. I guess that would be beneficial if you're going to pour them or machine them. Yeah, right. Yeah. A higher level of hardening.
Yeah. Through heat treating processes and the such.
Awesome. Could be. That's a long answer. I got to type all this up.
Yeah, I know. All right.
Okay, well, is that your final answer?
That is certainly my final answer, sir.
All right, well, we will find out soon enough.
Yes, indeed.
Because this, you know, this show flies right by, so the answer will be here before you know it.
In the blink of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. So you just, you posted a sweet picture of a Trans Am being painted recently on the V8 Facebook site.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
That got some love. That thing is looking great.
Yeah. No, thank you. And that's all a tribute to our metalwork, bodywork, and paint team. Those guys, Tim and Jeff in particular, Tim Day, the body man, and Jeff Whitlick, the painter. That car, it's got a great story. That's another one that was purchased by our customer's dad, new.
Cool.
And the customer picked out the color when he was 3 years old.
Really?
Yes, and he picked the platinum silver.
Wow.
Or sterling silver is actually the name of that color.
Okay.
And it's got a maroon interior, so it's a really cool color combination. And it came to us, and we did an engine rebuild on it. It's a 77 400 car. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Interestingly ordered with no hood bird.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
So it's a Trans Am with just a few badges. You know, of course, the rear wing. And this was an interesting restoration because we had to keep a lot of that stuff. We kept, you know, this guy wanted his car back. You know, and we've talked about this before where sometimes people bring us a car and they design something different or we come up with a different color or a whole new look.
Right.
And they love the car, but it loses the connection sometimes.
Right.
The familiarity, anyway.
Yeah, sure.
Well, that didn't happen on this one. I mean, he just wanted his exact car, but, you know, brand new with better performance. Okay. So a couple of interesting things on that one. The side mirrors, the sport, you know, bullet mirrors, are painted black.
Are they really?
Yep, and we're going to redo them in black. That's just how, you know, I think his dad painted him that way.
Oh, okay.
So they weren't original. They were, you know, body color originally.
I see. Sure.
There is a pop-up sunroof in the car. And, you know, normally we would unrestore that out of it.
Cause
yeah. You know, it's not an original thing.
Right.
And sometimes sunroofs are more, problems because of the leak and all the rest. And as the roof skin was not rusty or anything, so we looked at it and said, yeah, I mean, we can do this. So we resurrected and saved the sunroof. And then a couple little things like the fender spats, you know, the flares on the on the front and the back. The Trans Am had them, you know, in front of the front wheels and in front of the back wheels. This car came in with front and back. So on both sides of the wheel opening, it has flare.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually looks pretty cool. You know, a lot of people were asking, you know, where do you get those? And again, it was something that I think his dad had done or installed. The car had been painted once before many years ago. It had a small fender bender and some rust, I think, that that they fixed. And I think that's maybe when they added that. But it gave it more of a road race kind of look.
Sure.
Yeah. And then it had a third brake light that his dad installed before they were mandatory in this country.
Huh.
He said, I need visibility, and he thought that was a good way to do it. So
nice. That was actually a V8 radio trivia question at one time.
That's right.
What was the year that was mandated?
And what was it, 86?
86 model year, yes, sir.
Yeah, see? I listen to the show.
good man.
So as we are today, the car, you know, went through the bodywork process and some sheet metal repair and the whole thing. And Jeff just sprayed it in the silver with, you know, beautiful clear. And the car looks killer, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that stage of the game where it's this pristine, you know, in the paint booth with all the lights on it and it's masked off and the color is super nice. And to be honest with you, sometimes it's challenging to share those kind of pictures because I think the perception by a lot of people is that that's the way it's going to look, you know, like this is fresh paint. And in our case, like most, you know, most good paint shops, that's going to get wet sanded and buffed.
Sure.
And it's going to be a lot flatter of a surface.
Uh-huh. Deeper and just pop. Yeah.
And if there's, you know, it's typical that you'll have a piece of dust in the paint here and there.
Yes.
That you sand out, you know, and buff. And you'll also have a surface that, you know, the term we use is orange peel. Because the clear is designed to do that. And I think we've talked about this before, too.
We have, yeah.
Yeah, so it's the clear is designed to mimic the texture of a new car, and no new car has perfectly flat paint.
Correct.
So where I was going with this is, you know, sometimes you post a picture and someone's like, oh man, nice paint job. Look at all the orange peel and the dust in it, you know.
Right.
And it's like, well, yeah, but that's all going to go away in the next phase. But we have an innovation in our shop that Jeff's been using, and it's an anti-static gun.
Okay.
So it's electric with air, rechargeable, and right before he sprays anything, primer, base, clear, you basically paint the car with this anti-static gun. And it keeps the dust from accumulating on the car.
What, so, is it hit with some ions or something?
Yeah, it negatively charges the car, basically.
Oh,
and
right on.
As you spray, you know, because we have a sophisticated downdraft paint booth, but like I said, it's impossible to filter out every little tiny little piece of everything. But, oh man, our paint job's cleaner with that.
Really?
It made a huge difference.
Neat.
A huge difference that I didn't really realize was there. I didn't think, you know, there was a huge difference to achieve.
Uh-huh.
You know, I thought
things were looking
pretty good, you know. But, not only does that make it a nicer initial, but it, you know, it saves time on hunting those things down and sanding them out and buffing them, you know, later on. So the other thing is that again, that orange peel, which to me is like, I almost want to call it surplus paint. You know, it's sacrificial. It's going to get mowed down and,
right.
and buffed. But on this particular job, man, that orange peel is there, but it laid out so consistent, and there's so little dust in this thing, and the color just looks so great that I'm like, I got to share this. This just looks,
yeah,
you know?
It was beautiful.
And if this was a modern production car that, you know, went through the body shop, I guess, you drive it out of the booth and it's done. I mean, it wouldn't need any painting or sanding and buffing. It looks like today's modern finish texture. But
no kidding, that's amazing.
It's cool. And of course, the people, you know, again, that know how to do this stuff make all the difference. And
yes,
you know, Jeff's no stranger to the process. And the other fun thing is, and here's an insider tip, when you look at cars in the paint booth, our booth, most booths have a bunch of vertical or horizontal tube lights, fluorescent. Ours are all LED. Those lights are a dead giveaway if you've got wavy bodywork.
Is that right?
Well, you look at the reflection in the car.
Sure.
And if the light tube, you know, itself reflects with a little wobble in it, you know that there's something going on there.
Yeah.
And I looked at this one, and Jeff said this is probably the flattest, straightest Trans Am hood he's ever sprayed.
No kidding.
Tim just killed it on getting this thing straight. Because those hoods, they're actually kind of flimsy. They got a big hole for the hood,
the shaker,
scoop.
Sure.
And the substructure is, you know, kind of compromised because of that.
Yeah, it's a long scoop. Hood, too.
For sure. Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah.
And they have, you know, goofy hinges, and there's a lot of factors on. So next time you see a second-gen F-body, Camaro or Firebird, the Firebirds are more prone. The Camaro hood's got some contours in it. The Firebird's got less, and you'll see they it's hard to make them fit right and be straight and everything.
Sure.
But the reflections in the silver one that we shared was like, they're dead straight. It's cool.
That is really, really cool. I remember that I was a kid, and the first time, one of the first car shows I remember going to, and this black Trans Am rolled through, and I'd never seen, and I never knew a paint job on a car could look so flat and beautiful and straight. And this was a black car, so it was going to show everything. And I was just mesmerized by this. I'm like, holy cow, that's what real paint looks like. I never thought that was possible ever.
Well, and I think a lot of people look at that as they see it, and especially people who are, you know, casual enthusiasts that aren't trying to do this kind of work on their own, and something about the car just looks really nice, and they don't maybe understand that a big part of that is the surface is a mirror reflection of everything around it, which gives it a level of visual precision, if you will, you know, when there's straight line reflections and things, and then no swirls and stuff.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So it makes a huge difference. Yeah.
I learned the hard way about the proper stuff to use on your vehicle's paint to avoid swirls. When I had my 66 Le Mans when I was in the Air Force, my buddy and I were going to wax it up and make it look great. Now, I don't remember what we used.
Comet.
Comet. Some Ajax.
Yeah.
But when we got done, that thing was the swirliest thing I'd ever seen in my life. I'm like, what? What on earth are we doing here? You morons. I'm like 19 years old. I don't know what I'm doing.
It's tough, you know. And that correction can take a lot of time, too.
Yeah.
You know, you get a car in that's got swirls or water spots or bird residue stains. Mm-hmm. And if there's enough paint on it, you can wet sand that out and buff it.
Right.
But you're probably doing the whole car, and that's a few days to do that properly.
Yeah.
You know, you got to tape mask off the trim or remove the trim and, you know, all kinds of stuff. So it's a much better deal to get the good stuff and keep it protected.
Agreed. I think part of getting back to looking at the picture of that Trans Am, I think part of the satisfaction and why I think I know why you like seeing it in that stage, but why I like seeing it in that stage is it's all blown apart, and you know that every part of that car, whether you see it or not, has been hit by paint and is going to be nice. It's not like some of these quote-unquote restorations where, say, you remove the inner door panel and it looks like garbage, but the outside of the car looks nice.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a great point. We do certainly make sure the edges and the door jams and, you know, all that stuff. The body itself was jammed with no doors, no trunk lid, no front end. You know, so the paint coverage is everywhere. And then the doors and the body panels got sprayed on their own, and then it got put together and sprayed together on the outside so that it all matches.
Yeah. On my GTO, when you open the door, my God bless my father. He was a very frugal man. I think he hired out the cheapest painter he could find when he had this car painted, my GTO painted. When you open the door, you can see a definite line where the proper Signet Gold is and where the color that this car was painted, which is close, but there's a definite line difference there. I saw it, I'm like, Dad, come on, man.
But I'll tell you, man, the difference of doing the job without that line is a lot of time.
I believe
you know,
it.
Doors got to come off, and, you know, part of it is then you start to uncover things, and the might as well syndrome kicks in. Well, you got to put a new weather strip in. Well, you might as well rebuild the hinges, you know, and down the line. So, I get it. We were shooting an episode of Muscle Car of the Week, and there was a 65 Mustang that was a mostly original car. And there was an interesting note on it that they said, original paint in the door jams.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was that was a thing on that car. So they painted, you know, I don't even think they painted the whole car, but they painted a lot of the outside. And then left all that original paint in the jams. So you could see the color match. There was not much, you couldn't really detect the transition. So somebody did it right. But it was cool to see, you know, that original paint still in there somewhere.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's a thing, you know, paint's definitely an interesting topic. You know, people call us up all the time. Hey, I saw that picture of Trans Am. How much to paint my car? Okay. I please don't be angry, but I simply cannot answer that question.
No doubt.
My goodness. Until we talk for a couple hours and see the car for a long time and get into it, we don't know if you want that door jam, you know, and typically we paint everything, you know. It's just if somebody comes in and you know, if your dad showed up and said don't paint the jams, we'd be like, we're probably not the shop for you, because we want to do this all-encompassing. And it was funny, I remember a few years ago we were at the Street Machine Nationals in DuCoin showing a 69 Camaro that we had just finished, charcoal gray, black stripe, beautiful car. And a guy came up and he kept doing laps around the car. And he said, man, this paint's really nice. And I said, thank you. And Jeff, the painter, was standing right there. And Jeff's like, yeah, I appreciate that. And he said, yeah, you know, there's no overspray anywhere.
And you know, don't say.
Well, yeah. And it's funny. We laugh because it's not really even a possibility in our case when everything's blown apart and, you know.
Correct.
Done that in that way. But when you look at a lot of cars that are painted quicker on a much tighter budget, you might have gold paint on the exhaust pipes or on the side of the frame rail, and you know, and this car didn't have any of that because it was all disassembled. So these things I kind of take for granted sometimes.
I don't even see the tape line where you taped off the trim when you painted this. How about that?
It's all the same color with no zebra stripes in the metallic. So you know, it is interesting. But one of the things that, I don't know, last time I told some secrets, we're going to do it again.
All right.
Don't tell anybody. But there's an event coming to town. So Our shop is in Redbud, Illinois. The next town up is Waterloo, Illinois, which is where I call home. And it's about 30, 35 minutes out of St. Louis in Illinois. And it's a small town, and I really dig that it is a small town. And an event called the Firebird Fest is going to come to town towards the end of May this year.
Okay.
And these guys have over 200 Firebirds from 25 states right now.
Get out of here.
That are all going to visit on a Saturday from like noon to four. And we got a really nice picturesque town square, and there'll be all the cars lined around the square. And
killer.
They've got, I think they're only missing 2 years of Firebird at this point. They've got all the years represented that are coming out.
Okay.
And of course they're going to have, a Burt Reynolds impersonator and a Buford T. Justice and you know, all that stuff. And it's a weekend event. And other stops are, they're going to have there's a ZZ Top tribute band that's playing for the participants.
Nice.
And then north of here, there's a town called Grafton, Illinois, which is on the Mississippi River. It's a Mississippi River town.
Mm-hmm.
And they're staging a jump. Somebody jumped a Firebird over the river. You can't jump over the river. It's a little bit big for that.
Yeah,
you know?
A little wide. Yeah.
Big, muddy. But so they got all this fun stuff going on. And they had contacted us because one of the organizers, I think, lived in our town and really likes it and said, hey, you know, can I come to town? Well, you know, of course, so the mayor calls me saying, can you help these guys with this show, you know, what can we do? And I'm in another youth fundraising organization, and we're going to try and get some of those kids involved to hang out and help. So the end of the story here potentially is that how cool would it be to unveil this silver Trans Am at that show to the owner, give it back to him in front of all these enthusiasts?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it going to be done in time?
I think so. I mean, I told Trevor and the mechanical team, I said, I'm not, you know, this is not a mandate or a deadline, but wouldn't it be cool?
Yeah.
So that seed's been planted.
Okay.
And everybody agrees it'd be really neat. And it just so happens I have the PA system for the town square, so
we can do a
nice presentation, and, you know, that'd be fun. So we'll see. Hopefully we can make that happen.
Yeah, man. That would be so cool. Hopefully our Firebird owner isn't listening. That's one time I want someone to not be listening to the show.
I mean, it's the green one.
Yeah.
Brewster Green.
Brewster Green. The Vidoro Green 69 Firebird. That's what I'm talking about.
There you go. Orange interior.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. That's pretty cool. We'll see.
That's cool. Well, just a minute ago, you mentioned the ZZ Top cover band. That makes me think of the Reverend Billy Gibbons. And has there been any movement on that front?
There actually has not.
Ah, come on, Reverend?
Well, it's yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think his manager's doing his job and keeping the crazies away from the Rev. But I think I know somebody who has deeper contact info with the manager guy.
Okay.
Because I want to use proper channels and.
Well, of course, yeah.
You know, so this week I'll reach out to him to see if we can get there. But there might be another additional element to that little documentary story of Cadzilla that we touch on now and then. And that is when I was in California a couple weeks ago at the Roadster Show, I met the guys from Mix Paint. And they recently repainted that car a few years ago.
They repainted Cadzilla?
Yeah. Well, I mean, things been around a long time, since
85
the 80s.
85 or 86 or something like that?
89.
Excuse me.
So it's been flown, you know, all over the world, and it's been used and, you know, driven in events, and, and it was just...
It was
time. Had some swirl marks.
Had some swirling, so we had to repaint the whole thing. Got in the jams and everything.
That's right. There's no overspray.
Nope. Not a bit. Not a drop.
Well, somebody shared a picture, because the car kind of lives at the Peterson Automotive Museum, and somebody shared a picture of it out in the sunlight in the parking lot there. There's a door, and you can roll cars outside. Mm-hmm. And in the pictures, it was, like, completely swirled over.
Really?
It's like, oh, man.
Oh, wow.
And I think that's you can attribute that to handlers, you know, just people that are shuttling this thing around and not caring for it properly. So it got resprayed. And the guys at Mixed Paint, I think they had nine cars there on display. I mean,
oh, wow.
They do nice work. So
they must.
Yeah, for
sure.
That's
cool.
So it'd be neat to talk to.
Yeah, but do they have an anti-static gun they spray their cars down with before they paint them?
I don't know.
Come on, Mix.
There's another secret out the window.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. That's good stuff.
We share everything here is what that boils down to.
No secrets.
No. We want all the cars to look nice.
No secret processes. Come on. Out in the open with them.
It doesn't matter who does the work. We want it to look nice.
Yes. I mean, it's good for everybody. I mean, of course, there's plenty of work for pretty much everybody. A lot of people want their cars, want them restored and looking nice.
Yep. The more, the better.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm coming to you from my garage, which is completely destroyed.
Is it? is that due to a certain leaking front timing cover of a certain Riviera?
The project continues, and I don't remember where we left this off, because I know we talked about how fun it was to tear it apart and tools and all that.
Yeah. Well, it was all apart as of the last show.
Okay.
So going from there, there have been events.
Well, yeah, it was nice, you know, to kind of do this for the enjoyment of the process, right? Mm-hmm. So this isn't a car that I had to drive to work tomorrow and fix. Mm-hmm. This is my 70 Buick that is my nice day car, whatever. And the timing cover, the main seal had leaked. It was a rope seal, so in order to fix that properly, you got to take the cover off, which means a lot of the stuff on the front of the car comes apart. And it was nice. I rebuilt the oil pump and put a new timing set in it and put a modern seal in it and used, you know, all new gaskets to rebuild that whole timing cover thing and the proper amount of sealant and RTV, if you will, trivia questions, right?
You room temperature vulcanized the heck out of that thing.
Oh, I did. And it was very nice. The there wasn't too much squeeze out or, you know, globs of stuff, and everything was just, you know, I took some time to. This car's got a factory-installed electric fuel pump in the tank. It's a weird thing on these. So there's a factory-installed fuel pump block-off plate on the timing cover.
Oh, okay.
Because the other ones have a mechanical
pump, sure.
Other 455 Buicks. But this one was kind of interesting because the way GM made that block-off plate, it was stamped. It was a heavy piece. I mean, it's almost a quarter-inch thick plate steel.
Wow.
But the manufacturing process was a zillion ton press came down and bam, stamped them out. So one of the bolt holes had a distortion through it. It was pushed.
Oh, interesting.
You know, like if you shot a bullet through it and it the exit wound, if you will, it was peeled away. And that's how this one was. And you could see the stamping tooling mark on it. Which tells me that I'm amazed the thing didn't leak oil everywhere out of that.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because it probably didn't seal very well. So I took some time to file that down and make it all nice.
Nice.
You know, all those little nice things. And so I put it all back together, and I had inspected all the hardware and cleaned all the hardware and tumbled it and, you know, used the proper anti-seize and room temperature vulcanizing schmutz to because some of the bolts go through water coolant passages and they gotta you know, sealed off. And it's all going together pretty nicely, and you know, doing the final round of torque with the torque wrench, and of course the last bolt just twists and breaks in half.
Oh man.
And it's 2 inches in the hole flush with the block.
Oh brother.
So the timing cover's 2 inches, you know, deep at this right. point. And you know, it's aluminum, and you got this hole, and then inside there is where it mates the engine block, and that's right. where the bolt broke off. So I, you know, I walked away at that point.
Not a curse word uttered.
But you know what? It really, there wasn't. I wasn't that upset. Again, if I had to drive this thing to work in the morning, it'd be a totally different story.
True.
But I thought, you know what? This wasn't a bad process. So I would hate to have to take it all apart again, because all those new gaskets just got glued together, and you know, I don't want to scrape all that stuff off and clean it up again. And
yeah.
So, and we had talked briefly about peeling the oil pan down to get the crank scraper off to do the lower timing gear. I was able to get the gear out without dropping the pan.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, there was 1/1,000,000th of an inch of clearance to make that.
That's all you need.
That's all I needed, you know. So, I resisted. I relied on my worldly experience to not say, well, you know where that bolt is, it probably doesn't even need it, and it probably won't leak.
Aha.
And I said to myself, no, it's going to leak. Because my initial thought was, well, let's fire it up and drive it down to the shop and
see what happens.
See what happens, but if I need to fix this again, I could do it there. You know, on a lift, and probably be a little bit faster than doing it here and enjoying the process. But then I thought, you know what? I think I'm just going to take a whack at fixing this thing before I start it up, so that I don't fill, everything isn't full of water again. I mean, I refilled the radiator, but it wasn't circulated through, and
oh, I see.
You know, it didn't have oil in it because I hadn't started.
Oh,
it up.
Okay.
Right.
So it'd be a lot cleaner just doing it as it sits.
Yeah. If I have to take it apart, everything is still clean, you know?
Yeah, I got you.
So I went to bed and woke up the next day with a concept of, well, why don't you just fix it in place? Why take it apart, see if you can extract the broken bolt with the timing cover installed, and use that 2-inch deep hole as a drill guide?
I was just going to say, you have your own built-in drill guide with the timing cover.
Right, yeah. Right. So the trick there is that it's aluminum, so you can't really screw it up. And it's a 5/16 bolt, and the hole in the timing cover actually is not true because it's cast, so it kind of flutes in shape. It's narrower in the middle than it is at the ends.
Oh boy!
So a 5/16 bolt obviously goes right through. A 3/8 starts to go in and then stops. You know, about half an inch in or something like that.
Mm.
So I'm just taking notes, and I went to the shop and I thought, what would be the bolt broke with less than 20 foot-pounds of torque on it.
Wow.
So it's not like it's...
Oh, it's not really stuck too bad.
Yeah, like a head bolt that's like 100 foot-pounds.
Yeah.
And Caleb, one of our technicians who's also a machinist, I said, what do we have, you know? And he gave me it's a bit for a Bridgeport mill or a lathe, I suppose, too, that has a about a 1/4-inch pilot drill on the end of it, and then it's got a countersink flare with a drill thread in it, and it's a 3/8 shaft, and it's about 6-7 inches long, and it's double-ended, so if one end, if that little pilot breaks or dulls, you can flip it over and use the other side. So I went, oh, this is interesting, because now what I can do is run that in, and it's going to have a centered little pilot hole right in the end of my broken off bolt.
Yeah.
And that's always the problem. We try to drill into a broken bolt.
Yeah.
The bit wanders all over the place.
Wandering everywhere, yeah.
And you screw up the threads.
And then you let loose with the cuss words.
Then it starts to become a different story. Yeah,
right.
Because I you know, I thought to myself, if I got to take this thing apart, this engine's probably coming out. That's going to be the tipping point, and we're going to do this whole freaking thing.
You know?
So, that the hole in the timing cover wasn't big enough diameter wise to let that tool go through it.
God bless America.
I have a nice letter drill set, you know, so you got the fractions and you've got letter sizes. I don't know if you're familiar, but the fractions, the difference between a 5/16 and a 3/8 is it's a big difference in a drill.
Sure.
But you can get them that are labeled with letters, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, okay. that are like a couple hundredths bigger.
Oh, interesting.
Right? So it's a much more smaller step from one size to the next.
All right.
So I started with a 5/16 and I looked at it and I slipped it in the hole, and then I had one that just started to hang up in there a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I'll machine the
inside of the hole out a little bit.
Yeah, so I can get my tool through there. But then I realized I can't do it. I got to take the radiator out again. And
oh, there wasn't enough
drill
room there, huh?
Yeah, so, but that was okay. I use a suction pump to change my oil and change coolant in that thing. So you just pump up the vacuum and stick the hose down there, and it sucks all the fluid out the top. And then I leave the lower radiator hose on and just kind of fold it up. I leave it on the radiator so that when I take the whole thing out, it's not pouring coolant all over the place.
I got you.
So that came out cleanly. And then I have these really cool tools. I don't get to use them very often, but it's a ratcheting line wrench.
Really?
Yeah. So it's an automatic transmission. There's two line fittings for the transmission cooler that attach to the radiator.
Sure.
And these wrenches, so a normal line wrench has a, you know, how do you even describe it? It doesn't have straight jaws. It has a...
Right. It wraps around more so than like an open-ended wrench would.
Correct.
So it covers, what, four out of the five or four out of the six sides of a hexagonal bolt, nut, rather?
Right. And the mission there is to not strip off the corners of the fitting. Well, what these do is it's a wrench, and it has a pivoting head, so you can bend it to a 45 or a 90 or run it straight. And the jaws have the design of a typical line wrench, so they've got the additional reach, but it's split at the top, and there's a link with a spring. So the jaws are two pieces.
Okay.
And you're familiar with like an oil filter wrench or a chain wrench that you wrap it around something and you move it one way and it tightens.
Uh-huh.
And if you release it, it lets go.
Correct.
That's how these work. So you open the jaws up with your finger, you snap it over the fastener, and then depending on which way you oriented the wrench, you either loosen it or tighten it. And as you crack it loose, you pull it back, and the spring jaw opens, and it goes, and then you grab it again. And it's a ratcheting type action. Yeah, it's awesome. It's so cool.
I want that.
Yeah. They're. I should find out. I'm going to go grab one. So.
Okay.
I don't know. Tell everybody what you had for lunch or something. I'll be right back.
All right, everybody. So. The menu for today was eggs over easy and some toast, and it was delightful. It went down easy. Cleanup was a breeze. Oh, and Kevin's back.
Yeah, what'd I miss?
I had eggs over easy and toast today.
Oh, nice. Just had a couple of microwave sliders. I'm not sure I should have done that. Now you can see this now.
Oh, yes, I can. Oh, that's amazing.
And that opens up.
Love it.
And then you just, you know, do the thing.
Theater of the mind, people. Oh, you got to see this.
I know. Boy, is that cool looking. it all makes sense now.
That's perfect. I get it. I don't know why you people don't get it.
So the ranch is called Easy Red. Letter E, letter Z, red, and I'm not even sure they still make them. I hope they do, because it's a really nice quality chrome piece, you know. So, back to the story. I was able to yank the radiator out in minutes without spilling anything, and I got to use my fun wrench, and So I chucked up the drill bits in my drill and started pushing them through one at a time, you know, just milling out a couple hundred thou of aluminum at a time.
It's got to be satisfying.
It is. It was neat, you know, and got it to the point where I could put my machine tool on there with the pilot bit and pushed it right through and drilled a perfectly centered, you know, eighth inch.
That's perfect.
Dimple right in that in the bolt in the block, and I'm thinking this is cool. This is a good thing.
Yeah.
So the next step was, all right, how am I going to get this thing out of there? So I stepped up the drill holes a few times to be able to stick my bolt extractor, you know, left-handed thread thing, which wouldn't grab.
It
didn't grab right. So I have some left-handed drill bits as well.
Okay.
So I put a 5/16 left-handed drill bit and ran it backwards, and it spun out of the block. Zzt.
Oh, nice.
But it's at the end of this 2-inch cavern, and there's a gasket in there.
Oh, did it hang up on the gasket?
Yes. So the quarter inch of broken bolt threads are being held in place by the gasket. And if you put a tool in there, it just spins, or you push it back in the block, and I don't want to do that.
Right.
So I need. That's where I'm at right now.
Oh, really?
I haven't won this battle yet. I'm so close, and I'm thinking, okay, what am I going to do here? So I'm either going to find a very small magnet that hopefully is powerful enough to overcome the grab of the the gasket that's encased in room temperature vulcanizing material. or if that doesn't work, I can try to push the thing back in and drill a bigger hole and get the extractor in there. But I think it's just spinning at the end of the. I think the hole.
Is it possible to use your drill bits to kind of mill that gasket material out?
I got to be careful.
I get it.
And the thing is, it hasn't been milled out yet. And I've run, you know, a 3/8 through there already. So it's at the end of the hole and it's flexible enough or whatever to where it's resisting. And now that little broken bolt is also at the end of that hole. So the drill bit won't contact the gasket because the threads of the broken bolt are there.
All right.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm honestly thinking I took my sucker pump that I used to take the coolant the oil out.
Yeah.
And let's try that. Pumped it up, stuck the hose down in there. It maintained pressure, and I start dragging it out, and the hose comes out with nothing stuck on it. Damn it. So I'm almost thinking adhesive at this point.
Okay.
I'm going to take the old broken bolt and put a dollop of like super glue gel on it.
Or like what do you call it? Like JB Weld or something from metal?
But maybe.
You don't want to hit the block with that, though.
I don't want to hit the block, and I'm hoping I can. I don't need to do this and come back tomorrow and continue. I'd like to continue today.
Gotcha.
So I think if I super glue gel this thing, I can just set it in there, and I can walk away for 20 minutes, and it should be stuck enough to try to work it out.
So at this point, the bolt is just being held up by the gasket, but no threads are engaged.
I don't think any threads are engaged any longer. I think it's just stuck in there.
Stuck there. Okay.
I know.
Yeah, I like the adhesive idea. I like the magnet idea. And do you have like a magnet pickup wand thing?
I do. I've got a couple of them, and they're all too big around.
Oh. Gosh darn it. I mean, if you had something that you could attach like a rare earth magnet to, those are pretty powerful.
I tried
neodymium magnets or something. I mean, they have a lot of grip.
They do. So the interesting thing of the geography of this timing cover, the hole isn't, put it this way, the sleeve, if you will, of the timing cover, you can run your finger along all the way up to the block. So you can feel the outer perimeter of this this hole that the bolt goes into.
Oh,
so I dragged a magnet along the outside of it, hoping it would suck through the hole and slide the thing out, and my magnet wasn't powerful enough to do that.
Ah, man.
I know. I'm grasping here. But.
Yeah. Oh, man. Let's see, what can we do here? I mean...
And again, I think I'm dead in the water on drilling anything at this point, because it's just spinning.
It's just spinning,
the hole.
Yeah.
And I don't really want to thread it back in the block.
Sure.
To try and drill into it and then take it back out again.
Yeah, you don't want to, I mean, if it's just going to thread in, it's not going to, you're not going to be able to reverse drill bit anything, because it's just going to spin right back out. And
right.
You don't want to have it go too deep in the hole either.
No.
To make it stop.
So
spinning.
From what I can tell right now, the threads are unaffected in the block. I think.
You know, okay.
I want to keep them that way.
For sure. Yeah, all day. Oh man, this is a great thing. All right, listeners, what do you have for us?
Well, I might, if I get really stuck, I'll walk across the street and borrow my neighbor Rick's stick welder.
Oh right.
And just weld a stick to the
right there and pull it right out.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
I was thinking like a MIG welder, but you'd have to, that wire would have to extend so far, and it wouldn't be straight.
As soon as it arcs, it disintegrates, you know.
Yeah.
So that.
Oh, right. You wouldn't be able to stick to it too much.
No.
Yeah.
You could, if it was exposed, that's a good trick, is to weld
a nut or a
couple of nuts and a bolt onto it, you know, and then use tools to take it out. But this one's at the bottom of the hole. And, you know, of course, last result is just take the timing cover off.
Yeah.
Do the whole damn thing again.
Ugh.
And then the engine's out and it's off the frame and there.
That'd be so great.
No, it wouldn't.
Well, that's what started this whole odyssey I'm in that I went through. But I have a feeling you'd be done a lot quicker than I was. Heavens to Betsy.
Well, I'm working on, you know, like a month to do this.
Oh, boy.
This little job here. So it's just my limited free time of
being able to do this.
Nights and weekends occasionally. And fortunately, my travel season's going to start picking up pretty soon.
Oh, true.
And I'm going to be gone again doing shows all year in the summertime on the weekends. Intermingled with, you know, a few camping trips, and there you go. So
right, man.
But the saving grace is that it is too cold and crappy outside to drive the car right now, so I don't, you know, it's not like my friends are outside going, come on, get your car, let's go.
Come on out and play, Kevin.
Yeah. Fix your flat tire on your bicycle.
Will your dad go buy you a new tire?
Yeah, I gotta mow the lawn.
Sorry, guys, I gotta clean my room.
Yeah, I gotta earn the 28 cents to go get a tube.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we've all
been an interesting story about this timing cover. It's been good conversation. I like that you're almost done with it. I'm curious to see how it's gonna end up.
Yeah, me too. And hopefully sooner than later. So,
yeah, man.
We will find out.
We will indeed. I haven't done boo with my GTO this winter yet. I haven't been able to get it over to Randy's and have us pull that engine back out and get it sealed up. He's rebuilding a couple of riding lawnmowers right now.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, in his garage. I came across one that I ended up giving to him because my yard's too small for a riding mower, so he's using two of these to build like one good mower out of it, which will be interesting. But yeah, he's been preoccupied with that, and he's got his own stuff to work on, and he was building our buddy's Mustang, but which is now in his back garage for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we'll get this done before the spring thaw.
Right. Yeah, that's the pressure's on for all these things to get done to be able to go out and enjoy them for the spring. Although it's supposed to be 60 something here on Wednesday.
So. Shut your mouth. Oh, that's fabulous.
Yeah. So if I do get this done, we're going to go take a drive.
Good.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you can drive the Galaxy.
I can. You're right.
Yeah. Look at you with options.
There's a, yeah, there's a list of things I want to get done on that, too, before.
Yeah.
You know how it is.
Yeah, but none are preventing you from cruising around, though, are they?
No, and I think the last couple projects I did on that car were the seats. I put those low-back Pro Car buckets
in
it.
Yeah, you
I
did.
I took the originals out and swapped them for these. And so far, so good, except for it's a hybrid mix of the original slider tracks attached to the floor, and then we made some brackets to adapt the seat to the original track, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they need to be modified because they're a little too high in the car.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, and you couldn't really tell that until you get in it, you put them together,
sure,
and drive it and see what's up. So,
sure.
I know what I got to do there, but I got to do that.
Mm.
But that'll make that thing, it's so much nicer to drive with a little
seats.
Bit of support, and you can,
yeah,
adjust them, and you recline a little bit, and you know,
that's nice.
The recline and the tilt, I tell you, really make a difference.
I bet they do. I bet,
yeah,
they do, man.
Yeah, it's huge. Other than that, though, I mean, the car's, you know, pretty much ready to rock again for the, needs an oil change. But.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool, man.
So, you know, thinking about, what was the trivia question you asked me? Oh, what does
SRT.
SRT stand for? Striped radial tire.
Striped radial tire. I mean, in some world it could.
Yeah, right. All right, lay it on me. I'm pretty sure I got,
okay,
this
one. Okay, so SRT, Kevin, you said your final answer was street road track.
Yeah.
It's kind of an homage to the old RT, which was road track. Unfortunately, that's not correct.
Yeah.
The correct answer is street and racing technology.
Same thing.
What? Is it the same thing?
Well, you can't be on the track without racing technology.
That's true. That's true. Well, you could, but you wouldn't really win.
Street racing technology?
Street and racing technology.
So it's actually SART.
It is, but they say SRT.
Because I look at that as a street racing technology, and I, you know, they shouldn't really be condoning that.
No, so that's why it's street and racing technology.
But just SRT.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Sorry, SRT. Bub.
That's all right.
Yeah.
You got to lose some of them. And for
I
me,
thought you were going to rattle that one off quick, too.
I thought, you know, it's funny, as you said that, I'm thinking to myself, I never really took the time to figure out what that meant.
Mm.
So in your case, we asked you, where do the Arden heads get their name,
mm-hmm,
which was meant by one of those looks that your dog gives you as he cocks his head to the left.
What? What are you doing, master?
So your answer was a special forging that achieves, right, a higher level of hardening through heat treating and such.
And such, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what, mm-hmm, I said. I said what I said.
It's a great answer.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Unfortunately. It's not exactly correct.
Hmm.
So the Arden head was an overhead valve conversion for flathead Fords.
Ah, man.
Right. And the giveaway was that I was at the Oakland Roadster Show, or the LA Roadster Show.
Yeah.
And saw a couple of them. And there's one in the photo gallery that I posted on our website. But the Arden part is an amalgamation of Arkus Duntoff. So Zora Arkus Duntoff, the father of the Corvette,
yeah,
before he was doing that, was making these high-performance overhead cam conversions, or overhead valve conversions for flathead Fords.
No kidding. Gosh, I knew I'd heard of Arden heads before, but by golly, I couldn't place it. But I won't forget again.
You don't see them every day, but they are cool.
Yeah, they are cool.
So, yeah.
Ah, man.
That's all right.
A couple losers here on the show today.
At least it cancels out.
Yeah, right. Right.
Both, you know, didn't tank the average too terribly.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, this was interesting, and I am now going to get back to getting this stupid bolt out, and we'll report our findings soon. If you enjoyed hearing about my perils,
my trials and tribulations,
that's right. You can click the subscribe button. Do that on the Apple thing, because we've been moving up, and you know,
yeah.
The amazing thing about Apple Podcasts is that the ratings are so dynamic.
They really, really are.
It's like real time.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, oh, you went up 3 because some guy listened for 10 minutes, and then you're down 6 now. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. But it's an interesting project for us to see where we can chart on these things. So
yes.
Subscribe on the Apples or anywhere else. And the Facebook page, you can see our new logo there, and, of course, Instagram and all the rest of it. And any and, feedback.
And you can see it on your podcast feed.
That's right. Yep. Yes. And any thoughts or feedback, we're always happy to read those and appreciate all the positive ones. We get a lot of them. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Yep.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
All right, my friend.
All right. We did it.
We did it, and you can tell I'm kind of giddy about getting back to it. So that's all we got for this episode, but more to come next time on VA Radio.